Max Ducharnay is the author of a book called Straight from the Fridge, Dad, A Dictionary of Hipster Slang. In the book, Ducharnay catalogs a variety of hard-boiled slang terms such as Wordsville, which is hipster slang for library, and mugsnappers, a more colorful term for photographers. Ducharnay told Steve Paulson about the roots of hipster slang.
It's a collision between the way the jazz people were speaking and the blues people and the way the mobsters were speaking. And if you were looking to buy alcohol in the Prohibition days, you were going to wind up in somewhere that was being run by the mob. And the entertainment there would be, yeah, people like Fats Waller and Cab Calloway and just blues and jazz people. So they all knew each other. And if you're a musician and you wanted to get paid at the end of the evening, you had to go and talk to some guy with 3-day growth of beard and a big suit who would probably try and pay you less than he was supposed to. And then, there's a guy called Babs Gonzalez who wrote great memoirs of his days, essentially, as a jazz musician trying to get paid by people like that. And he used the phrase at the end of the evening, "Give me my bread or I'll take your head." So, it was a classy atmosphere they all moved in.
Give me a few examples, going back to the 20s, of this kind of language.
Well, words that people think are modern, words like fly, which get used in hip-hop today. People say, oh, yeah, she's a fly chick or whatever. That was around in the 20s in blues records with titles like I Ain't Your Hen, Mr. Fly Rooster. It's a female blues record from the mid-20s. Calling everybody man, just at the end of a sentence, just say, hey, man, what's happening? If you start talking like that, people tend to think of the 60s and the hippies, but that was very common among musicians back in the 20s.
As I was going through your book, I turned up a lot of phrases dealing with a few essential subjects. One was all the different ways to say you're drunk.
Yes.
Down with the fish, as full as a pair of goats.
Yeah.
Dixie fried, fractured.
Drinking your lunch out of a bottle. That's Raymond Chandler. Saucing a little on the much side. You've got yourself mashed. You're in the grip of the grape. That's one of my favorites.
That's good. Now, there are a few other things that seem to inspire hipster slang, drugs, violent crime, and of course, sex.
Yeah, I mean, the blues people singing, you know, I'm going to Atlanta to get my ham bone boiled. And I did a thing once, those books that you buy when you're going on holiday to teach you how to speak French or something, and it puts you in certain situations. And I did, okay, here's the straight translation, and then here's the hip translation or whatever. There were so many terms for sex which seemed to involve food that you could actually make a real fool of yourself going into a grocery store and saying, Mr. Grocer, I surely need some of that meat, and my bread pan's been empty for weeks, and I'm itching to get my ham bone boiled tonight. So give me some of that good sauce from the gravy bowl. You can go on. Depends how sleazy your program happens to be. But
so what you're saying is there's kind of an overall tone to hipster language. I mean, it's how you get by in the world so that the straight society doesn't see you, doesn't notice you.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you're including other people in. Someone who is hip, by definition, you know that they're hip because when you come out with all this stuff, they understand what you're saying. There's a guy who called himself Dr. Hepcat, whose real name was Lavada Durst. He was a radio DJ in Dallas in the 40s and 50s. And he published a little booklet of phrases that he'd heard on the scene. And some of them are things like, yeah, okay, you go up to this woman that you know on the street, and she's wearing a dress that you think is really attractive or that really works. And so you go up and you say, my solid pigeon, that there's a real E-flat Dillinger and a bit of a fly thing all on one side. I imagine if you went up and said that to Eleanor Roosevelt, she wouldn't necessarily have understood what it was you were talking about. So yeah, it's inclusive and exclusive at the same time.
Did people actually talk like that, though, or is that just kind of what you'd see in a book or hear in a song?
Some of it's definitely made up by cheap Hollywood exploitation film scriptwriters. Certainly the scriptwriters of the film High School Confidential, 1958, they were having a hell of a laugh. I mean, it's a film set among teenage drug gangs at a high school, and it opened with Jerry Lee Lewis on the back of a truck playing the title song. And yeah, I think they made a lot of that stuff up. But then Cab Calloway, the dance band leader from the late 20s and early 30s, he was using phrases that were just straight out of the off the Harlem streets, and he was putting them in songs. And he also put them in his Hepster's Dictionary, which again was about a 10-page thing that he published in the 30s. So some of those terms, you can say, yeah, they were around, they were being used in songs, and he was noting them down. So you've got an idea of what year they were current.
Now, we've been talking mainly about the slang that comes from the streets, from especially people who were dodging the law, but didn't some of it also come from people who were trying to escape Hitler and the Nazis?
Well, you had a lot of it showing up in film noir, the classic gangster films and just really downbeat films of the 30s and the 40s. And, yeah, people like Fritz Lang and so many of the Hollywood people that made those films had come straight out of Germany and Austria and escaped one step ahead of the Nazis. And so they brought a worldview with them, which I find very interesting, which was, yeah, if you've just come from somewhere where they're rounding everybody up and putting them in camps, everything's inverted. Respectable society is backing a Nazi regime. So, yeah, you probably have quite a cynical view of the world anyway, because your world has just been swept away. And so the films they made, often based on great pulp novels, things like The Postman Always Rings Twice, Where the Sidewalks End, stuff like that, they have a great hard-bitten view of the world.
So what's some of the language that comes out of those movies?
I think mostly they were using phrases that were current in America, but it's not so much complete phrases. It's more this sort of, as I say, very, very cynical words for things. So the electric chair, for instance, which if you were a full-time criminal, that was a reality that you might have to face. And they were calling it the waffle iron or the fireless cooker or saying, you're going to take the electric cure. Or if it's the gas chamber, they would say, you'll find yourself sniffing Arizona perfume. So, and a police gun, the kind of machine gun that if the police would start opening up on you, that was called a crowd pleaser. Or there's a Dashiell Hammett thing where they're about to take somebody down and in the police cells and try and get a confession out of him by basically a bunch of guys standing around and beating the hell out of this suspect. And they say, yeah, take him downstairs and let the wrecking crew get working on him. So, yeah. It's a nasty little world here, but right. I like it.
Now, a lot of this hipster slang, it seems to come from men who are having a good time looking at women, especially attractive women. But does it work the other way as well? Is there some of this that comes from women?
Yeah, it was a flat-out sexist society, and it did cut both ways. I mean, the men certainly were, you know, calling people, yeah, she's a nice piece of bedroom furniture, for instance, things like that. But then if you want complete filth, the best place to go is the 1920s female blues singers, Bessie Smith being the most famous example. They would sing in a very, very upfront manner about what they were looking for sexually. And if a guy didn't perform, they would call him a flat tire, things like that. So, yeah, it cut both ways, and it was definitely un-PC.
Does anyone still use hipster slang?
No, outside of a few secure institutions, I don't think so. It's the sort of thing that you need some sort of an audience that's going to understand you. It's like being fluent in Coptic Greek or something, which was current maybe 3,000 years ago. You could come up with some wonderful poetry in that, and nobody would, it wouldn't mean a whole lot to anybody.
But what's striking, though, is, I mean, there is a lot of people still care about being cool, but to say the kind of stuff that we're talking about, I mean, you'd be anything but cool right now.
Yeah, with the exception of certain words that have survived. But then that is the thing. It's always a moving target. The word hip, for instance, became hip around about 1936. But before that, it was the word hep. So if you were hip in 32, you were hep. But if you were hip in 36, then you weren't hep, you were hip. And if you said you were hep, then you were unhip, if you see what I mean. I don't know. Groovy was groovy in the 1940s. It then was pretty much outdated in the 50s. Then, well, God knows, I mean, Simon and Garfunkel were using it in the 1960s, so I guess it was pretty mainstream. Then, during the punk years, it was very ungroovy to say groovy, and now it's groovy again. So it goes in phases, but some of these terms are just indestructible. They keep coming back.
Max Descharnais is the author of Straight from the Fridge, Dad, a dictionary of hipster slang. He spoke with Steve Paulson.